Genesis chapter 19, as we dig in this morning, a hard chapter, but one that's necessary for us. It says there came the two angels. These were the two angels that had been with Abram in the Lord back in chapter 18. And they had left. The Lord communed with Abram a little bit more. And remember, he asked if there was 50 righteous and bargained them down to 10, because the Lord already knew. It says that there came these two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So he's gone from a place of pitching his tent toward Sodom in chapter 13, of entering into Sodom in chapter 14, and now here sitting in the gate. So he's in a place of being one of the elders, one of the judges of the city. That's where they would sit and judge the things that had come before them. So he's really entered into a dangerous place for him spiritually. But the two angels came, Lot sat in the gate, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and to go on to your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed them upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, the first mention of unleavened bread, and they did eat it. But before they lay down, sleep had come, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, no place to exit. The men were all around the house, both young and old. Isn't that sad? And all the people from every quarter. The word Sodom means to scorch. And here they are in a burning place that is truly going to fulfill its name. It is going to burn. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them." Not just to get acquainted with them, but to have relations with them. Sodom, just that wording, just an ungodly thing, and it's still ungodly. God hasn't changed. It was ungodly then. It's still ungodly now, as is all sin. But they said, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out to us." In the culture of the day, if you entered into somebody's house and had a meal with them, you became part of the family. You became part of them. You would eat the same bread. You would have the same meal. You would just become part of the family in that sense. And it was the duty of the hosts to protect the people that were there. And so he rejects their offer. No kidding. Lot went out at the door under them and shut the door after him, and he said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." There's a wording there in verse 7 that you should really take a look at. Here's a man who in Scripture is called a just man. He's righteous. He's a godly man. Certainly not in a good place in his walk with the Lord, though. And certainly a thing for us to look at this morning. But he says to the men that were out there, the Sodomites that were there, he calls them brethren. What a sad place to get to when your heart can come to a place of calling the people of the world your brothers and sisters. We really have to be at a place where we're careful of our wording, careful of what we say, careful of what comes out of our mouths to those that are around us. We certainly don't want to give people around us a false impression that they're okay with the Lord. And really, that's what he's doing at this place. He's calling them brethren, saying, "You're okay with the Lord because I'm okay with the Lord." And we really have to be careful, because they're not. They're not godly. they're not walking after the things of the Lord. They're walking after the things of the flesh. And so what you really have a picture of here is a man who was godly once upon a time, who has entered into wickedness and brought it into his life. And his salvation is sure, which gives us hope as believers, right? Because I know you guys well enough to know that you sinned. because we all do, right? And it's not something that we laugh at. It's something that's serious to the Lord, and we want to be serious with it with the Lord to make sure that we have a short account with the Lord that, Father, whatever I've done and entered into, that you would forgive me. And really have a heart that's after the things of the Lord and not after the things of the world. We see what the world is doing. We look at the world and we can't believe that we've come this far just in a few short years, that we're in this place where we're now on a terror watch list for being conservative Christians. What a sad place. When conservative Christians were the ones that founded the country and wrote the Declaration of Independence, that wrote the guidelines for our country that we've now broken in every way. But even before that, we've broken every commandment that God has given us. So we need to be careful as we give out to those that are around us, not to give them a false impression of who God is and not to give them a false impression that they're okay with the Lord. We don't want to get in their face and say, you ungodly sinner, because we were once there. But we certainly don't want to give them an impression that they're okay with Jesus either. He calls them brethren, and he says, do not so wickedly. Don't do this wickedness. And notice he doesn't say before the Lord, but to the people that are in my house. Again, the witness that he has certainly been diminished. The witness that he has certainly been toned down. He's dumbed down the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. And we see that in so many churches, that we've dumbed down the righteousness of God, that he's no longer a holy God, that he's a God that accepts sin, and that he's a God that's okay with sin as long as you go to church, or as long as you read the Bible, or as long as you give to the church. God has none of that. It doesn't matter how much we give to the church. It doesn't matter how many times we go to church. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and realize that he's holy, then we're dumbing down the standard that God has set up. And his standard never changes. Ours sometimes changes, doesn't it? We'll allow things that we wouldn't allow at other times. And we see that with Lot. But I'm so thankful that there's salvation that's there. But boy, we certainly don't want to enter in, and we should be accountable to somebody in our lives so that the Lord can know and see and understand that we are not going to walk in ungodliness, that we want godliness in our lives. And we should be accountable to somebody that's around us so that they can tell us, hey, where are you? Remember, he said that to Adam. We saw it a few weeks ago when we started Genesis. Adam, where's your wife? Adam, where are you? You've walked away from me. And we should be able to say that to others. Where are you in your relationship with Jesus right now? Why are you allowing this to go on in your life? We see no sense that Lot is going to church anywhere, that he's having fellowship, that he's reading the scriptures, that he's proclaiming those scriptures. We see none of that anywhere. And yet the Lord knows the heart, and he calls him a just man. And we have a hard time doing that, don't we? Because we see a man that's compromised. We see a man that's not walking in truth. And you know what? If you call yourself a Christian and you're not walking in truth and you're not walking in the right way, the world is going to be able to tell that there's something phony about you. You can't sit at a bar with a beer in your hand and say, you really need to go to church like I go to church. Really? And how do you go to church with a Bud Light? Oh, sorry. Nobody buys Bud Light anymore because it's on the outs now. I'm kind of happy about that, by the way. It's kind of good. Amazing, though. But the compromise that can come into our life. And Lord, help us not to compromise in any way. And that's hard, isn't it? Because there's a lot of stuff out there we want to do. Our flesh wants to do. Our flesh wants to have, but the Lord calls us to be holy because he's holy. And Lord, help us to walk in that truth. Help us to walk in that holiness, that we would be a holy people, set apart for you. Not set apart for our own gain, not set apart for our own pleasure, but set apart for God. And Lord, help us with that. So the men and the young boys, in that word for the young there, really goes to way young. They're learning things that they shouldn't ought to learn. Isn't it amazing that in our culture now, there's books out for kindergartners and elementary schools that teach young boys what to do with other boys? Isn't that sad? We're back at the same place Sodom and Gomorrah was. No wonder Billy Graham could say, if the Lord doesn't do to America what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to have to apologize, because we're in the same place. We're allowing things that shouldn't be allowed. In fact, not just allowing them, but we're promoting. What a sad country we've come into. And for me, if we're at this place, then the Lord's already judging America, because otherwise these things would not be in America. The Lord has already lifted his hand, and judgment is starting to come upon America. We see it because these things are allowed. It's just a sign that God has taken his hand off and man is doing whatever he wants to do. A sad place. But you know what? You can't be discouraged. We have a hope of heaven. We're discouraged at the way the world looks, but we have a hope of heaven. We can rejoice. We can still have joy. We saw a great clip yesterday. One of our grandsons sent us a clip from three players from Oklahoma, the girls' softball team. And ESPN was interviewing them because they've had a great year. I didn't even look at their record. I was just so amazed at the testimony that I didn't even look at their record or what was going on. But there's these three girls on the podium, and ESPN is interviewing them and said, you know, just how come you can stay so focused and stay so happy and have all these things going on? And all three of them said, because we have the joy of the Lord, because his joy isn't dependent on how many games we win or how many games we lose. Our joy is dependent on who God is and our relationship with him. And all three of them. And the announcer just, hum, hum, hum. It was great. But that's where our joy is. Our joy is not in what America is doing or not doing. Our joy is in the God who loves us and is going to take us home to heaven soon. And that's who we rejoice in. That was kind of a rabbit trail. Verse 8, he says, behold now, look at what Lot does now. He won't give them the men who are there, the angels that are there. But he says, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the roof of my house. Isn't that sad that a man would protect other people who have come into the city, but he wouldn't protect his own daughters? What happens when compromise comes into our life is that it will compromise every part of your life. If you let a little sin in, it's going to affect all of your relationship with the Lord in some way. If you let a little sin into your word, it's going to bring a whole compromise to the whole of your word. As you let a little sin into the walk of your life, it's going to affect your walk. You're going to be limping towards heaven instead of running towards heaven. Like Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It will dampen all of your walk with the Lord. Be careful of what you allow in your life and what you allow in others' lives that are around you. We have such a hard time with this. I can't imagine. I had four girls. I can't imagine protecting somebody, a stranger who's come into my house and giving my daughters over to known violations. That would be so awful. Ugh. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They were pushing in so hard on him that the door was just about to break. That's a lot of pressure. And you know what? The Lord will allow things sometimes in a person's life who's compromised, just to show him really where he is. And when you're getting pressed, when you're getting compressed into a sin issue, it will cause you so much pain and so much anguish sometimes that it almost break the things that are in your life. His house was precious to him, but they pressed him so much it almost broke the door. And sometimes the Lord will allow that just to show us where we really are. You really aren't upset with this kind of sin in your life, and it will almost break you. But aren't you thankful the Lord is gracious? Because look at what he does next. Just amazing. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. They had a little more strength than Lot did. He couldn't get the door open and get in, but they could open the door and get him out without anybody else getting in. I think they had a little more power than Lot did. Don't underestimate what angels can do. Fallen angels as well as real angels. They can do a lot. They're stronger than we are, but not stronger than our God. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, most small and great, those that were young, those that were older, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Don't you find this amazing? They bring blindness upon this whole group, and they're so busy trying to find the door that they don't even care that they're blind. They just want what they want. And doesn't that happen when sin comes into your life? You want that thing so much that it doesn't matter if it causes you blindness, you want that thing. And it's just a condition that's already been in their heart, because their heart was so blind to the things of the Lord that the outward manifestation of blindness now comes upon them, because inwardly they're already blind. They're blind towards the things of the Lord, and the Lord has just shown them, you're already blind. And we think of the scriptures that talk about the blind leading the blind. They all end up into the ditch, right? They all end up in trouble, not knowing where they are. And these people are still the same. And be careful who you associate with, because all these, from the youngest to the oldest, have the same mindset. They're together. They have unity. And we think unity is great. Not if it's going in the wrong direction. Unity is not great. You can be unified but sincerely wrong in your dealings. They searched for the door. They wearied themselves. They looked so long. They couldn't look, but they felt their way along so much that they wearied themselves, that they got tired of trying to find the door. They weren't going to give up from what they wanted. And that's what sin does. It makes us go so much. You look at people with drugs, and you talk to some of the folks that deal with them, and that addiction is so strong that people weary themselves. They spend all their money. They lose family. They lose relationships. They lose even any kind of integrity as they rob from parents, rob from those that they live with, go into their grandparents' house and take their money, steal from them, just so they can satisfy that addiction that they have. And how sad that is. But that's where sin will lead us if we don't control it, if we don't ask the Lord to intervene and to save us from those things. And you know what? We're all capable of any one of those things, aren't we? If it wasn't for God's Spirit keeping us, we would be in the same place. Thank goodness he saved us from that stuff. And he continues to save you from it. It isn't just something that once you dismiss it, it's gone. It's still there, isn't it? The temptation is still out there, but it's God that keeps us from it. You can rejoice every day that you don't have to go through that, that you don't have to be like that. Not that you're pointing fingers at somebody else. Well, then you become the Pharisee and the publican, right? The Pharisee was in the temple and going, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this bozo next to me, this publican who's just hanging out here. I'm better than him. And what did the publican say? He couldn't even lift his eyes. He said, forgive me, because I know I need you. Oh, and that's you and I, broken to the place of realizing we have no power within us at all if it wasn't for God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, there's your sermon for the day. We're good. This is great. So the men pulled them in. They wearied themselves trying to find the door. They're in blindness. Verse 12, and the men said to Lot, have you any here besides son-in-law or and your sons and your daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So as they had heard the conversation, remember, Lot figuring that he had son-in-laws, he had relations in there, and there had to be at least two others that were saved in the city, that there had to be 10 people, and he knew God was going to spare the city if there was 10. And so the angel said, have you got anybody in the city that's like-minded like you? Isn't that amazing? He's just offered his daughters, and they say, do you have any in here that are like-minded like you? Oh, for we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. The cry of sin that's coming out of the city is just so awful, is so rotten, is so terrible, that the cry has come up before the Lord, and he's not going to deal with it anymore. He's not going to always strive with man. And one day, judgment is going to come upon those who walk in sin. The cry has come out. Just think, there's men and women in the city because there's kids. Can you imagine the mother, the wife of one of those men that's standing at the door wanting to have relations with the angels? That's my husband. That's my son. How their hearts must have been broken. But when sin enters in and addiction enters in, we compromise. And it just allows those things to go on in our homes. The sadness of that, the awfulness of that, maybe even to enter in and to help. We're going to destroy this place because the cry is waxing great. We wonder if the cry of America, the cry of the world, has reached the Lord's ears. And he's coming to judge soon. There's nothing more on the prophetic calendar to take place before Jesus comes back and gets his church. We just don't know when that is, but we should be ready. And wouldn't you rather be found worshiping the Lord than being in a place and offering your daughters to men who are standing outside your door and have Jesus come back and say, now's the time for the rapture. How's your life? Oh, I would hate to go to heaven and face that. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters. So he had two daughters that were married. He had two daughters with him who weren't married. So he has four daughters. He had two son-in-laws, and he and his wife. And he says to them, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. He believed it. He went out to proclaim it. Finally, you go, Lot. A little late, but better late than never, right? And he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law because they saw the compromise in his life, because they saw the compromise in his walk with the Lord, that they laughed at him. Oh, how sad that is. We want our lives to be holy so that our family knows that they have a walk that's real, that's true, that's not compromised. That our husbands, our wives, our family members would look at us and say they have a walk that represents the Lord. There's no compromise in their life. They won't laugh at you then. They may not believe you. They may not walk in that way, but they'll know where you stand. So when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. All this is taken throughout all the night. Amazing, because remember, when the angels came in the city, it was evening. And before everybody had gone to sleep, the men of the city came out and wanted the angels. And now he's gone to talk to his son-in-laws and his daughters that were there. Notice his daughters don't even come with him either, those two that were married to their son-in-laws. That's how far compromise had gone, that it affected their daughters to the point that they wouldn't even come with him. And that breaks your heart, doesn't it? Because we cry out, Lord, I don't want the rapture to come till my family comes to you. It shows that we care more about our family than we do about our relationship with the Lord. And he's got to be first. If he's not first, then you have an idol in your heart, and we need to repent of it. And it's not that God can't save them. It's just that they haven't come yet. Maybe this would be the point where they would come to Christ. But we have to have that relationship with Jesus first. Otherwise, we're already in compromise, aren't we? We're compromising our walk with Jesus because we want something else more than we want him. while he lingered in verse 6, the men laid hold upon his hand. He was lingering. He was hoping for some more to come. He was lingering because he wanted something else. Can you imagine if the Lord wanted to come and rapture the church and we go, just a minute, Lord, got a wedding going on, got to go to the wedding, Lord. Just a minute, Lord, we got another grandbaby on the way. Grandbabies are wonderful, but they're not better than Jesus. And we'll see him in heaven anyway if they're still babies. The men laid hold on his hand and on the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful. Look at this. The Lord being merciful. Do something with that. Highlight it, underline it, circle it, whatever you want to do with it. But take a hold of it. The Lord was merciful. Even in that compromised, awful state, the Lord was merciful. How merciful is your God? He's this merciful. That even in the midst of complete sin and idolatry and awfulness, he would come and show mercy to whoever wanted to have mercy. Is the Lord able to save to the uttermost? Amen. If he wasn't, we'd all be in trouble. The Lord was merciful, notice, unto him, unto Lot, because of Lot's salvation, because of Lot's relationship with the Lord. He was merciful to him and his family that was there. Oh, if you think that your relationship with the Lord just affects you, think again. It can affect your whole family. The Lord can show mercy in the midst. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. It's sad, isn't it, that sometimes I grew up in a Christian family. I didn't want the Lord. But my parents were of the mindset, and the mindset of that day was that you don't talk about your faith, you don't talk about religion. We always went to church, but they didn't talk about their faith. And that was so sad until after I got saved, and then they would talk with me about it. But it's sad there was no open communication about that. Be open about your relationship with the Lord. It's okay. It's better for those around us, isn't it, to know where we are and what we stand for. They set him without the city. They came, and it's almost like they picked him up and carried him out and just plopped him down. Get out of here. Amazing. If I were those angels, I'd have a serious discussion with the Lord. You really want this guy with you? But the Lord knows the heart. And it came to pass that when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, because between Sodom and Gomorrah there's a plain. It's all going to be destroyed. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. Now he has a choice, doesn't he? They bring him out far enough, but not completely all the way into safety. You've got a choice, Lot. You can either keep moving or get consumed, because fire's coming down. You'd think after all this, you better do something. There has to be enough conviction left there that I need to do something. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Really? Peter tried using this line too, didn't he? He didn't get far with it either. You don't say not so in Lord in the same sentence. You say yes, Lord, or you say not so human, but you don't say not so to the Lord. If the Lord says something, you don't say no. Behold, now your servant has found grace in your sight. I found grace, so I'm going to get bold here. And you have magnified your mercy. I see your mercy all over the place, which you have showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. I'm too weak to run all the way to the mountain. Really? Fire and brimstone are coming down, and I'm too tired to run away from it. You know what it shows? It shows when compromise comes in that you're too weak to run away from sin to the uttermost part. Isn't that sad? That's why we need to keep ourselves pure before the Lord. That's why we need to stay away from sin. Not because we're scared of consequences, because we know of what it can do to our life eternally and do to our life and our family, do to our life that would cause damage to us when we didn't have to have damage in our life. You've showed to me mercy in saving my life. I can't escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Wait a second. You know what else is wrong with this? He's in Sodom. And he said, I'm afraid to go to the mountain because there might be some evil that might overtake me. You've been in the midst of evil for how many years now, Lot? What do you mean some evil might overtake you? There's more evil in the city than there is outside running to the mountain. In other words, I want to stay in compromise, but you showed me mercy. Be careful of where your heart is, because we could cry out the same things, couldn't we? Behold now, verse 20, the city is near to flee unto, and is the little one, oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow the city for the which you have spoken. Haste thee and escape thither, for I cannot do anything till you come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar, or little one. Then the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then, after Lot had escaped from this place of judgment, then judgment came. Does it remind you of anything? As Calvary Chapel people, as people who should believe in the pre-trib rapture, and if you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, I'm sorry, we'll talk to you about it as we get raptured up to heaven, and we'll tell you why we believe in pre-trib, that this is what happened. This is just a picture that the bride has to be out before judgment can come upon the earth. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Remember, the angel said, don't look behind, don't look back. In the wording there, when it says that she looked back, isn't that she just glanced to see what was going on. She looked intently with love towards the city. She wanted the city more than she loved her husband. She wanted the city more than she loved her daughters. She loved the city more than she loved her Lord. God's so gracious to give her a chance to escape, and she didn't want it. I don't want to escape from the danger that's right in front of me. I'd rather get killed than go. It just shows our love relationship is not what we said it was. She looks back intently at the things that are there. We haven't got time for it, but if you get a chance, Luke 17, the whole first part up until about verse 32 is a great picture of what's going on here. So you can use that, look at that. But it says, and Abraham got up early in the morning from the place where he stood before the Lord. Abram gets up to see what the Lord is doing, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Remember, he was the one that was interceding, and because of his interceding, the Lord being gracious to Lot and his family. Don't think that your prayers don't count. You may not see the effect of those prayers right away. But as you pray for your kids, as you pray for your grandchildren, as you pray for your family members who don't know Jesus, they count. And who knows what the Lord is going to do for them and with them as you intercede. We don't look for the results. We look for the Lord who's going to bring the results. Lord, I'm crying out to you for them. So important. Don't get tired of praying for your family. Don't get tired of praying for what's right for them and with them. Because the Lord is gracious. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abram and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Look at this. He's in this little town. Remember, the name of the town is Little One. He's in this little town. He just came out of Sodom, and he's afraid to dwell in this little town. Amazing. So he goes to a mountain and hides in a cave. The word there is really cavern, just this little place dug into a rock, dark, wet cave. And folks, if you've come out of a place of safety and run to a cave thinking that you're going to be safer there, there's dangers that are in the cave, dangers that are in the caverns that are there. There's no light. It's dark. And what happens with our thoughts when we're in a place that's dark, when we're in darkness that's in the world, when we're in a place of awful things that are going on around us? As we contemplate those things, as we think about those things, our mind plays tricks on us, and it tells us things that aren't real. And we're going to see what happens with that. And the firstborn said unto the younger, remember, the daughters are there. Our father is old. Great, thanks, kids. And there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Because the Lord has destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, says, as they're thinking, there's no other man in the whole world that can be a husband to us. Really? When you're in a dark place, your thoughts are not right. Stay in the light. Stay in the light. Stay out of compromise. They've seen the compromise of their father, of their mother. They've seen the compromise of things that are going on, and they enter into this place. There's no other man in all the earth now. God has killed all of them. Just our dad. Really? So come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made the father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. My mind's a little strange, you might have noticed. I have one question. Where'd they get the wine? Where's the liquor store that they got it from while they're in a cave? Come on. brought it with him. What was important to him? The wine. Oh, isn't that sad? The wine and having a husband, having a wife, having a relationship became more important to them than the things of the Lord and his protection over them. If he's able to keep them and get them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you think he can get a husband for you? But when you're in a cave, when you're in a dark place, you're not thinking right, and you end up making bad decisions. We're going to see how bad those decisions are. She lays down with her father as he's drunk. And isn't it sad that Lot's in such a place that he allows it to go on and he gets drunk? Instead of being thankful that he just got delivered from fire and brimstone, he says, I might as well just get drunk. So compromised. And that's what compromise will do in your life and my life. We'll get drunk with the things of the world rather than do what's right. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. They twisted his arm, because they were stronger than he was, right? Oh, my goodness. He perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child with their father. Just then we see this ungodly man, not ungodly, but just spiritually weakened completely man versus Abraham. What do we see Abraham doing? He's up seeing what the Lord is doing, still interceding for his nephew. Even though he knew he was in the wrong place, even though he knew he was doing the wrong things, he was still interceding for him. The difference between a worldly man and a committed man. What a difference. A committed man and a compromised man. What do you want to be today? Do you want to be compromised or do you want to be committed? And for me, this is so convicting. Lord, I want to be committed. I don't want to be in compromise in any way, so help me with it, Lord. Not to compromise and to let my family think that it's okay to enter into sin, that there isn't going to be consequences with it, that there's dangers there. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, and the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. That should ring a bell for you. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, and the same as the father of the children of Ammon to this day. That should ring a bell for you. The Moabites and the Ammonites, the Lord said to the 10th generation, shall not enter into the congregation of God. Whoa. Because of the incest, because of the sin, because of the compromise, they are still the thorn in the flesh of the Israelites to this day. How sad sin is. How awful the consequences of sin, and it lasts a lifetime to a lifetime to a lifetime. And we can't point fingers at them because the consequences of our sin certainly last from generation to generation, don't they? Of the things that we've compromised with in our lives. But thank goodness there's forgiveness with God. We look at this chapter, we see the harshness of it, we see the hardness of it, we see the awfulness of sin, we see the awful way that sin has treated people, of turning them from righteousness to lies, walking in compromise. And if you're in a place today where maybe the Lord is just speaking to you and just talking to you about some things that are in your life or things in your family's life, just remind yourself of those things. Ask for his forgiveness, and let's start a new direction. We're in days that are short, I think. I think Jesus is coming back soon. I hope he's coming back soon. I would love to see him. But let's commit ourselves to the right things and not compromise ourselves into oblivion. And isn't it sad that the men who loved Lot so much that they would let him be a judge in the city came against him when he wouldn't give them what they wanted? Reminds you of somebody, doesn't it? Like the people that were before Jesus on Sunday, Hosanna, and by Thursday, crucify him. That's what compromised hearts will do. They'll love you 1 minute, and they'll hate you the next. But I'm glad that God's love is sure, and it never changes. Because I'm just as fickle as anybody else. But God's love is sure and steady. So, Father, as we come to take communion this morning, Lord, we ask that you just remind us of things, Father. If we're in a place where maybe compromise has entered in, help us just to repent of those things this morning, Lord, and to allow you then to work in our hearts and our lives to just have forgiveness for those things, Lord, and to purpose in our hearts that we're going to walk in truth and walk your ways. And, Father, if we have family members that are professed Christians but just seemingly walking in awful places, how we pray for them, Lord. Let's be like Abraham's, that just pray for them and intercede for them. But, Father, whatever case, that you just minister to our hearts as we prepare to take these tokens that remind us of what you've done for us. Thank you that there's forgiveness with you. Thank you that there's hope with you. And thank you that we can just stand in your grace this morning, Lord. We love you and we thank you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.